One, I'm just curious. Can you call out how many Easter eggs did you eat? Zero? Too many? Too many. Our son, we have three kids, and our middle son, I don't want to know how many Easter eggs he ate. I think one morning he consumed about 27 before 7 a.m. I was like, whoa, that's our yearly quota of chocolate, and next year we'll revisit that. But good morning, everyone. It's such a privilege to be here this morning. Welcome to everyone watching online as well. If we haven't met, as Michelle said, I'm Tegan. John and our three kids, we love being a part of the True North tribe. And it's just, a privilege to be with you this morning. Usually, you can find me hiding in the cafe on my laptop. I usually working in an admin space, doing some of our carols and events admin. But I'm just so honoured and privileged to be here this morning. So excited to get into the Word. And so this morning, we're going to focus on some of Jesus's final words to his disciples. We've just celebrated Easter. We're familiar with the narrative. He died, he rose again. And then there's this period of about 40 days where he's with his disciples before he again goes to heaven. So he's preparing them for this next phase of their ministry without him. So I would imagine what he's saying to them, it's pretty important stuff. Gives us really good insight into what's important to Jesus, what he wants them to do. And so there are four written accounts of Jesus' time on earth. We know them as the four Gospels. And they each paint a slightly different picture of a slightly different nuance to Jesus' message. All saying the same thing, but they highlight different things. But this passage that we're going to look at in just a second is actually recorded in all four Gospels. So we get a really good picture when they're all saying the same thing. We know, hang on, we need to pay attention to this. We need to take note. So we're going to start in Matthew 28, verse 18. You may be familiar with this scripture as you read. And it says, "Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded with you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age.'" As I said, you probably, if you've been around church for a while, you're probably familiar with this passage. The Great Commission is what we know it as. Or maybe you're new to church, you're new to the Bible, then this is a really great picture of what's important to Jesus. What's he getting at? These are his final instructions to his disciples. As I said, there's multiple accounts of this. So in Mark's account, it says, starting in Mark 16, verse 15, he said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation." Then after the Lord Jesus had spoken to them, he was taken up into heaven where he sat at the right hand of God. Then the disciples went out and preached everywhere, just as they'd been commanded to do. And the Lord worked with them and confirmed his word by the signs that accompanied it. In Luke 24, his account, starting in verse 46, I'll just summarize. Jesus explains that the repentance for the forgiveness of sins needs to be preached in his name to all nations, not just some nations, all nations, starting where they are in Jerusalem. And he promises the gift of the Holy Spirit. They hadn't yet received it. So he says, he makes a point of telling them, stay here in Jerusalem until you have been clothed with power from on high. And the last account of this great commission is in John. I like this one. Short, sharp, sweet, very direct. I can get on board with this. In John 20, 21, it says, again, Jesus says, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I'm sending you." I like it. Peace, I've been sent, you've been sent. Go. Again, short, sharp, sweet, to the point. So as we can see, even in these short verses, there are some key similarities, some key directives that stand out. Firstly, there's this very clear call to go. Go and tell. Go and make disciples of all nations. I'm commissioning you. I'm authorizing you. I'm sending you. Go. But then with this commission, with this call to go and tell, there's also the promise of his presence and the promise of his power. He doesn't send his disciples out to figure it out on their own. He gives them exactly what they're going to need to fulfill this commission, this call on their life. So we're going to unpack that. I wonder, as we do, going to pray, would you bow with me for just a moment? God, thank you for your word that we have this morning. Lord, as we seek to understand what it means, would you open your word up to us? but also would you open us up to your word so that it's not just some information, some nice facts, but it's something that we actually can live differently, that we live out in our world. We pray these things in your name, Jesus. Amen. 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 So I love, who's taking notes this morning? I love some good notes. Excellent. Extra points if you have a physical notebook. You're my people. So the first thing that stands out in these verses is the idea to go out. We can't miss that. There's this, go and make disciples of all nations. Go into all the world. I am sending you. I'm authorizing you. Go. And what I guess really stands out to me is that this is a call for all. It's not a call for some of his disciples. It's a call for all of his disciples, yes, at the time, and all of his disciples now. Now, his disciples were just a group of normal people that took Jesus up on his invitation to go and follow him. And we, his disciples now, are just a group of normal people who take Jesus up on his invitation to go and follow him. Applies for the disciples then, it applies for his disciples, us, now. Jesus says, go into all the world, not if you go into all the world, not you extroverts go into all the world. He doesn't single out a group of people that maybe feel called to, maybe, you know, have the personality for it. It's a clear calling for all of his disciples. And so this commissioning is for us too. Now, I don't know about you, but that immediately makes me uncomfortable. I'm like, if I'm honest, given the choice between talking to one of my fellow human beings, fearfully and wonderfully made, beautiful as you are, and just going online and booking something or buying something or finding something out, I'm going to do the online option. I'm going to talk to the AI. If I'm at a party, I'm probably going to go hide in the kitchen. I'm going to find a cheese platter, find my spot, or I'm going to find a job to do. Where are all of my fellow introverts at? Good. Your courage to raise your hand. I see that. So this whole go and tell thing, I'm like, honestly, I'd rather not. I'm more of a stay home and stay quiet type of girl. And so I wonder if perhaps like me, extroverted as you may be, perhaps there's part of you that resonates with this idea of, oh, go and tell. I don't think that's for me. I think that's for somebody else who has gifting in that area. But perhaps, maybe like me, you have some misconceptions about what evangelism is. So maybe it's worth reframing what it is and what it isn't. I think sometimes, well, I know I can, sometimes I think that evangelism is just for the pastors and missionaries. It's just for those with a specific gifting. It's just for the extroverts. It's maybe standing on a street corner, either telling people that Jesus loves them or lots of yelling about fire and brimstones. I'm sure we've all seen both. Sometimes we can think that maybe evangelism is for the Christians that have it more together, that know more of their Bible, that have been coming to church longer than we have, that have had special training in the area of evangelism. And look, maybe these are some expressions of evangelism, absolutely, but evangelism isn't necessarily limited to any of those things. So what is evangelism then? Sure, there is often a telling, asking, inviting part, yes, but we'll get into that in a moment. I believe that evangelism starts with simply living out the love of Jesus. You may have heard the saying, preach the gospel, and if necessary, use words. I resonate with that. But we're not off the hook yet, us introverts. But I really do want to make the point. We will look into the action of going and telling, that doing, going and telling. But I want to make the point that it first comes from living in such a way that our life speaks of who Jesus is without our words. See, when we are patient and kind in our workplace, when it's really easy not to be. Not in my workplace, though, because I work at church. when we are slow to react and do so with gentleness instead of harshness, when we are full of joy, even when life is not particularly joyful, it doesn't feel joyful, this preaching from our lives without our words, it speaks volumes. And so that means that when a situation does arise where we actively go and tell, we actively use our words, our invitation and our life, it matches up. And this could look like telling a friend you're praying for them. It might be encouraging someone with a Bible verse that you feel like you've been prompted to share with them. Maybe it is inviting someone to church or Alpha. Maybe it's simply having the courage to say, I went to church on Sunday and it was really great, when someone asks you how your weekend was. We want our words and our invitation to match up with our life. We aren't perfect. We will never be. But as we are being transformed by Christ to be like him, that speaks loudly. See, evangelism, this idea of telling others about Jesus, and discipleship, this idea of becoming like Jesus, they go together. You can't separate the two. And we are called to both. As we experience Jesus and he brings change to our life, there's an overflow. What I mean by this, what I'm getting at is, have you ever stumbled across something, even something trivial, and you can't help but tell someone else about it? Can you resonate with that? Like I bought this vacuum cleaner, right? Let me tell you about it. You can tell that you're in your 30s with three kids when you get excited about a vacuum cleaner. But it, wait for it, it vacuums and mops at the same time. Like, game changer. I am telling everyone about this vacuum cleaner any chance I get. It is, you know, three kids, they make a mess from when they wake up to when they go to bed. This is a game changer. I think it's so good that everyone should know about it. Or I don't want to brag, but I make these brownies. And they are the best brownies out there. They actually are. They're kind of chewy and crumbly on the outside, soft and gooey on the inside. Like, they come out perfect every time. Even when I say I've stuffed up the recipe, they're going to be terrible. They're still perfect. And so the first time a friend asked me for this recipe, I'll be honest, I had this split second moment of thinking, no. But luckily Jesus is at work in my life. I did have this moment of thinking, but this could be my recipe. These are my brownies. And then again, God's good work in my life. I thought, no, this is just too good. These brownies are just too good. The more people that have this recipe, the more people that get to taste them, and they're just too good not to be tasted. You see, when we have tasted and seen the goodness of God, when we have been transformed by knowing Jesus, when we have seen his faithfulness again and again and again, this is just too good to keep to myself. This is just too good to keep to ourselves. And it's from that place of overflow, this true goodness of having experienced Jesus's life-changing work in us, that we first live from and then go and tell. Introverts included in that. So when I have experienced Jesus as just too good in my life, of course I want to invite my neighbour to Alpha. I can genuinely, you know, if I'm chatting with a friend who's anti-church, I can genuinely say, hey, come and see. Come and try Alpha. God may not be who you think he is. Come and see, and leave it at that. There's an overflow in my life. We both live out our go and tell. As I said, how we live, it speaks volume. And then actually sometimes go and tell how God is prompting us to. Whatever it looks like, and there's going to be 1,000 different expressions of that. However God prompts us, we do our small part and join God where he is already at work, surrendering to his big picture and his timing. In 1 Corinthians 3:6, I don't think we have this one, so I'll just read. Paul is speaking in a kind of a gardening analogy, but he's not talking about gardening. He says, I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God made it grow. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. When we have that small conversation that we think is insignificant, but it's how the Spirit prompts us, and we leave it, and then someone else comes along and they add in that next piece, they water it a little, and someone else comes along. Maybe it's a process that takes weeks, months, years, decades. God is in charge of the process. We merely do our part as we're prompted and leave the rest to him. I read this during the week. It says, it's not about how able we are. It's about how available we are willing to make ourselves and how willing we are to surrender to God's leading. In evangelism, we need to understand the concept of partnership with God and exactly what our role is and is not in that partnership. We do our small part and trust the outcome to him. He's the one that changes lives, not us. See, at the moment, my expression of go and tell is just loving my neighbours. Who would have thought? We have this group of four or five houses. We're in a cul-de-sac, so we're really close together. And so the past 2 years of kind of living where we are, there's been this slow process of getting to know them, getting to know each other in 10-second intervals, in waving to the car when we're waving to each other when we're loading into the car. It's a really slow process, but we're beginning to see some of the fruit of that. We're beginning to have those longer chats here and there. You know, the burst water pipe, so we're all out on the verge, we're chatting longer. When we don't have power, we're all kind of out on the verge again, we're chatting a bit more. Over these 2 years, things have been chipping away. I think one of them is going to come to Alpha this term, and if not, maybe next term. But for a while there, my go and tell, my doing, my action was simply to wave and say, hi, who would have thought? My natural instinct is to run and duck and go back inside, but lingering for that extra few moments as God had prompted me has actually turned into something. Some of our neighbours are easier to get along with than others. Maybe you have some neighbours or colleagues like that. You get it. But I know that the ones that are harder to love are often the ones that need us most. My mum is actually one of my neighbours, so I was specifically... No, I wasn't talking about her. I promise. The ones that are harder to love are often the ones that need it the most. And so I'm going to keep taking my 10-second intervals of saying hi, of showing up, of choosing to engage. I'm going to do my part and let God do the rest. You see, we each have unique opportunities and contexts where God has placed us in our communities, in our workplaces, maybe a sporting club, schools, whatever it may be. A unique context where we can go and tell the love and message of Christ, both with and without our words. Sometimes this feels daunting, but because God calls us, he commissions us to go and tell, it means that he actually enables us to do it. You know, I referenced before in those verses, God makes a point of, Jesus makes a point of saying, peace, I am with you. I will be with you always to the very end of the age. Jesus, in John's account of the gospel, of the Great Commission, Jesus greets his disciples, peace. And then he says again, peace be with you. There is a promise of his presence. If you give someone the authority to do something, Jesus authorizes his disciples to go out. If you give someone the authority, you're going to make sure that they can do it. You're not going to set them up for failure. And so Jesus promises his peace, his presence, and his power. We can be obedient to God's call to go and tell because he is present with us. And where the presence of God is, there is peace. His presence makes a difference. You know, we have two sons, and one of our sons in particular, he has a very vivid imagination. That also means that he's very good at imagining monsters. And so, as you can imagine, getting through the house, moving through the house has become a very challenging task because there are monsters everywhere, I'm told. Now, I know better than to try and tell him that they're not real. That doesn't work. I also know better, although I try to tell him, look, I can see our entire house from where I'm standing. I've got all the entrances covered. If any monsters are coming in here, I'm going to deal with them. In fact, I've told all the monsters they have to leave. It's my house. They need to get out. That doesn't work either. What he wants is for me to come with him. He wants me to go with him to the fridge to get a drink. He wants me to go with him to his room to get his toy. And he's five, so I'll let him get away with it for now. But he wants me to go with him. My presence makes a difference. John's presence makes a difference. And while we don't have God physically present with us, he is with us. He promises his presence, and his presence brings peace. And yes, in this context, in these verses, we're talking about God's presence with us as we go and tell, as we evangelize. But this is actually, the promise of his presence is actually something we can count on all the time. See, one of the things that God makes himself known by is his presence, his withness. Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. This is something that we can count on. When things are going well, when they're not going well, when we're going through what we think are the trivial things of life, God is with us. When we're going through some really hard and weighty seasons of life, God is with us. In the Bible, there are more reminders of God's presence and his command to not be afraid because he is with us than anything else. God makes a point of being known by his presence. He is with us. He is with you. And perhaps, you know, maybe you're in a season where there's some very real monsters in your house, some very real monsters in your life. And today you simply need a reminder that God is with you. You can count on that one. You can take that promise to the bank. God is with you. Your good and gracious God is with you. So whether we go and tell, when we retreat back, maybe we feel like we're just down and out for this season of life. God is with us. And as God's presence brings us peace, God's power gives us strength and guidance. The second of God's promises in these verses that we're looking at as we go and tell is power, a promise of power. You see, Jesus goes so far as to reiterate to his disciples, stay here until you're clothed with power from on high. You haven't got this power yet. Stay here. Wait until you've got this power. In Acts 1, starting in verse 4, this is another account of this great commission. And it says, on one occasion while he was eating with them, he, Jesus, gave this command, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water. They were familiar with being baptized with water. But in a few days, you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Again, there's this commission to go and tell, go out, but wait, I'm going to equip you. I'm going to give you my power. Stay here until you receive this power. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And so just like this commission is a call for all, we all receive the Holy Spirit in our lives. Not just a few of us, we all receive the Holy Spirit when we make a decision to follow Christ. It just comes down to whether or not we're in tune with it. You see, in these verses that we just read, Jesus does say to his disciples, wait until you've received the Holy Spirit. That gift hadn't yet been given yet. So there was this very tangible moment when they did receive the Holy Spirit. But for us now, and from that moment on, when someone simply said, come, Holy Spirit, when someone made a decision to repent and follow Jesus, they received the gift of the Holy Spirit. There's no special formula. There's no special steps we have to work through. We receive the Holy Spirit. We have God's Holy Spirit in us. Again, so I mentioned, it's not a question of if we have the Holy Spirit or not. It's, are we attuned? Are we living by the Holy Spirit or not? Are we letting his power be at work in us or not? We tune into the Holy Spirit when we feel that prompt to go and talk to that person that we don't actually know, and we go and do it. We attune ourselves to the Holy Spirit when we read the scriptures and then apply it to our life. It's like we're dialing in, not dissimilar to tuning into a radio station. We tune into the Holy Spirit when we take those small moments to be still, to have some space and some silence, to develop a sensitivity to what the prompting of the Spirit feels like, so that we know his voice in the busyness of our days and lives. These things tune us into the Spirit in our life so that we live by the Spirit. In the scriptures, the word used for Holy Spirit in the Greek is parakletos or paraclete. And this means advocate, counselor, comforter, helper. It's in the context of someone who would come by your side when you're in need and help you out, aid you through it. So I don't know about you, but I need the Holy Spirit in my life. I need as much help as I can get. I will take it. And good news, because our God, who is infinitely powerful, he has all the power, and we who have none, he freely gives it to us. Again, it's just the question, do we use it? Do we know what we have? Imagine not having to fill up your car ever. And those of you with smart cars, you're like, well, I don't have to. Imagine not having to plug your car in ever. Imagine if it was just good to go at all times. You'd think that you'd won the lottery, like literally. You'd be driving it around all over the place. Never having an empty fuel tank, constantly having a charged battery ready to go. You drive it around, but if that would be wasted if the car was just parked in the garage. Wouldn't be of any use. It's the same with us. We are full of the Holy Spirit. We've all got the Holy Spirit. Not some of us, all of us. God is not stingy. There's an overflow of power in our life. But are we attentive to that Spirit in our lives? Do we operate out of his power at work within us? Or are we sitting there like a parked car with a never-ending fuel supply, not realizing what we have? See, God empowers us as we go. This has been a continuing lesson in my life. Whenever I feel stuck and I'm wondering, God, like, what are you doing? You're not doing anything. Why isn't anything happening? You're not at work. As I take those moments to be still, to hear the Spirit, I again and again hear this still small voice. It's my job to guide, it's your job to go. Sometimes I have that backwards. I think it's my job to guide and God's job to push me. However, it's his job to guide, it's my job to go. God doesn't push dead weights around that don't want to go anywhere. However, he is faithful to guide and empower us when we choose to go with him, to follow him, to take up his invitation and his call. Doesn't matter how slowly we're walking, what matters is that we are choosing to be obedient and follow him. If we are willing to go, he is faithful to guide. In 1 Corinthians 12, Paul writes, "The Spirit is given to us each in a special way. This is for the good of all. To some people, the Spirit gives a message of wisdom. To others, the same Spirit gives gifts of knowledge. To others, the Spirit gives faith. Some gifts of healing. Others, he gives the power to do miracles. To others, he gives the ability to prophesy. To still others, he gives the ability to tell the spirits apart. To others, he gives the ability to speak in different kinds of languages that they had not known before. And still to others, he gives the ability to explain what was said in those languages. All the gifts are produced by one and the same Spirit, and he gives gifts to each person just as he decides." So how we go and tell, both in how we live that out and how we use our words to go and tell, is going to look different because of the expression of the gifting of the Holy Spirit in our life and how he prompts us. But we all have an expression of God's power at work in us, which is going to serve as a witness to him and his goodness. So as we pull this all together, I think if the band is able to make their way up, from a place of being empowered by God's Spirit, from a place of realizing this never-ending power supply that we have in our lives, and from a place of being full of peace because we know that God is with us, we are then obedient. We can be obedient because we're equipped to go and tell. This commission to go and tell. God has enabled us with everything we need. So I think there might be a couple of applications and responses to that I want to focus on today. One may resonate with you more than the other. And the first one is this, simply a question. What's your go and tell? We're familiar with show and tell. What's your go and tell? Yes, I did say how we live is actually, it speaks without words. And sometimes as we're prompted, as God is at work in our lives, there's going to be people that he wants us to invite. He wants us to pray with. He wants us to simply get to know so that maybe months and years down the track, there's an opportunity to invite them to church. What is your go and tell? What are the unique opportunities and contexts that God has placed you in? And how might he want you to join him where he's already at work? Maybe it looks like inviting someone to Alpha that we have coming up. Maybe not. But what's your go and tell? How is God prompting you? And then a second response to this message today is maybe you're yet to have this encounter with Jesus. You're not up for go and tell because really, if you're honest, you're like, I don't have anything to tell. I'm not sure what I'm telling people about. I'm not sure that I've had this too good moment. When Jesus was on earth, he shared his good news. It was the good news that the kingdom of heaven had arrived on earth. It was good news that God's kingdom, his order of love and hope and peace had arrived and was being established on earth as it was in heaven. See, in Greek, the term used for good news is euangelion, euangelion announcement, good announcement or good news. And taking a step back just for a moment, in Jesus's day, the people would have had, as they're listening to Jesus's good news, his good announcement, they would have been familiar with this idea of good news, good announcement. Each of the kings and rulers of the day, they would have their version of good news. They would have their good announcement. Not too dissimilar to things we may hear. There were promises of, I'm going to do this. My reign will be like this. I'm going to fix these roads. I'm going to build that hospital. It was their good announcement of the time. But the difference between Jesus's good news, his euangelion, and that which the kind of people of the time would have been familiar with, was that Jesus's good news, well, it was the actual good news, but it had the power to change lives. Had the power to change lives then, has the power to change lives now. Jesus's euangelion is the euangelion, the good news. And the difference between, again, Jesus's good news and just a bunch of information or nice ideals or desires of how things might be, was that when this good news gets a hold of you, goes from being in your head to your heart, when it gets a hold of you, it starts to produce this life change. You start to experience the love, the joy, the hope of Jesus. It's not a bunch of facts to know. It's something that gets a hold of you and starts to change how you live. This euangelion was different. It is different, and power is still there now. We spoke about the idea of living out the gospel of Jesus so that you can preach without words. The good news is when the good news gets a hold of you, it actually begins to produce that life change so that your life preaches without words. Any words you add on that is just, it's just icing on top. Your life has been transformed. I'm going to invite everyone to stand. And I mentioned there's kind of one of two responses. I'm going to create just a moment of prayer to simply respond to either of those if you felt led. The best evangelists are not necessarily those that speak to a crowd, though that is evangelism, but it's not necessarily it. The best evangelists are those who have let the good news of Jesus get a hold of them and are living it out in real time, imperfectly as we do. But when we have encountered the power of Jesus in such a way that we know this is just too good, this is too good, this is changing the way I live, this is too good to keep to myself. First kind of response or prayer moment. And if you resonate with this, feel free to just place your hands out, just a way of saying, yep, count me in. I want to pray a commissioning prayer for those of you who are ready to go and tell, or maybe you don't feel ready, but you're going to do it anyway. You're going to step out in that authority and boldness. I want to pray a fresh awareness of God's presence and his power as you do that. So why don't you bow with me? Father God, we want to have the courage to go and tell. Thank you that you have commissioned us, Jesus. And we know that as you commission us, you enable us. So Lord, as we are going to take the step to be bold, would you prompt us who those people are, who those invitations are? Maybe it's some we know, maybe some we've never met. Lord God, help us to know the prompting of your Holy Spirit. Would you help us to be attuned to your Spirit, to take that time to develop, to cultivate an awareness of your Spirit that we might live with the full extent of the power at work in us. Lord, would you remind us of your presence with us? Might that be like a peace that washes over us? Lord Jesus, we want to go and tell. We want to take your news throughout the world. We want people to know how good you are, that you are just so good. Give us courage as we step into that today and this week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And then a second response that I have, a second prayer. If that's you, you're like, that whole euangelion, this good news that's got a hold of your life and has changed the way you live. I haven't yet experienced that. I haven't yet had this moment where I'm like, this is just too good. We're very simply going to pray a prayer of encountering Jesus, of being filled with his Spirit, of getting that good news inside your belly so that it can change how you live. If that's you, why don't you place your hands in front of you? If you're around and you want to stretch out a hand towards someone, do so. Father God, thank you for the good news that your kingdom has invaded earth. Thank you for your Son. Thank you that by choosing to follow him, by repenting, by laying down our old way of life and choosing to follow him, there's something that happens in our life. There's something that takes hold as we live out this good news. So come, Holy Spirit, we pray. God, for anyone who is yet to encounter you, would you come now, Holy Spirit? Do what only you can do. You are so good. Would your goodness, would your love, would your peace, would it overflow in each person's life right now that is earnestly seeking you? Would they have this encounter of this good news that gets a hold of them? Thank you, Father. Thank you for the life change that you are doing in this place. Do whatever you want to do and what only you can do. Holy Spirit, you're welcome in this place. We pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen.
Transformative word to go and tell, and we get to have